You're in the grand theme of things. The Logbook.com soundtrack mixtape podcast is back with more selections, all centered around a single theme. A setting, similar plots, maybe something else. Something connects all the music you'll be hearing today. I'm Earl Green. Sit back and relax and enjoy a little bit of free association with music from movies, TV, and games. It's all in the grand theme of things. Welcome back to End the Grand Theme of Things. This time around, we are making discoveries in ancient rock. That is, we are looking at anachronistic scores from swashbuckling swords and sorcery fantasy films. Because you think of music like that, you're probably thinking of something like Conan the Barbarian. Or something along those lines. But let's talk about this before we get into our musical selections. Because what you're thinking of with classic fantasy adventure films is you're probably thinking of Eric Wolfgang Korngold. Because that's kind of the sound that set the template as early as The Adventures of Robin Hood with Errol Flynn. Let's play a track from that, because while it is not the sound that we are exploring tonight, it's important to put on the table to get you to think about it just a little bit. This is the sound people seem to expect from your average fantasy film. That music was from The Adventures of Robin Hood. It's the Utah Symphony's 1983 re-recording of Eric Wolfgang Korngold's score from The Adventures of Robin Hood. That was track 11, The Archery Tournament. And I'm presenting that just for context because that is it's very much a template for how people expect the music for a fantasy adventure film to sound. Because we are now going to completely shatter that template. The composer of our next movie basically caught hell for the soundtrack that we're about to play some excerpts from. Here's a quote from him. "It got a bit of criticism for being out of period, which I thought was quite funny. What they meant is they wanted a conventional Korngold score, which is still 550 years out of period instead of 600, so what the hell?" That quote is from Andrew Powell. Now, Andrew Powell has a very distinctive sound with which you are probably familiar if you have ever listened to the radio and are of a certain age. Andrew Powell was the orchestral arranger for the Alan Parsons Project. And Andrew Powell scored the movie Lady Hawk, directed by Richard Donner. Now, Andrew Powell was not Richard Donner's first choice to score Lady Hawk. Basically, he landed the job because John Williams and Jerry Goldsmith were busy, and while Richard Donner and his future wife were location scouting for the movie Lady Hawk, they were apparently incessantly listening to the Alan Parsons Project, and Donner just had the idea, okay, why don't I go after these guys' orchestral arranger and see if he'd like to score a film? To say that the critics hated this soundtrack with a passion would be the understatement of the century. Now, the funny thing is, the soundtrack to Lady Hawk was not issued on CD until the 90s, when GMP Crescendo Records, makers of fine Star Trek soundtracks up until about that same era, released it on CD. And they released basically a very limited program of music from Lady Hawk on a single CD. And while it was an interesting enough listen, it was hard to come away with any impression other than, yeah, that just doesn't sound right for that kind of film. Well, here's the thing. Andrew Powell scored lots of much more traditional music in an orchestral vein, and even some Gregorian-style chant, which, let's be quite frank, for the period of time, you know, if you're talking about a fantasy adventure movie that is set somewhere in Earth history, if they try to peg it at, you know, somewhere in real history, in a temporal context as far as when the movie takes place, Gregorian chant is probably what the whole soundtrack should be. Andrew Powell's right about that. Korngold was applying a very, you know, for The Adventures of Robin Hood, Korngold was applying a very modern sound to that, but it stuck as the template in many a composer and director and studio music director's mind as what a fantasy film should sound like. Lady Hawk kind of crashes through that template, and it brings the entire Alan Parsons Project with it. Anytime you hear a rock ensemble in the score from Lady Hawk, you are effectively listening to the Alan Parsons Project. Except in this case, the music they're playing is written by Andrew Powell and not by Eric Wolfson. So, having pre-rambled my preamble, let's go ahead and play some selections from the recently reissued 2-CD archival edition soundtrack from Lady Hawk, issued by La La Land Records just a few short years ago, that presents the score in its entirety and gives it some context, and I would argue very strongly that it proves that Andrew Powell totally stuck the landing on this thing. He didn't fluff it. He actually hit the target. It just wasn't to everyone's taste.
We'll be right back.
Music from Lady Hawk by Andrew Powell. Now, we started out this podcast by playing a little snippet of The Adventures of Robin Hood. Well, we're going to go back to Sherwood Forest now for the 1980s ITV television reinterpretation of Robin Hood called Robin of Sherwood. And of course that means we are going to be talking about the album Legend by Clannad. Clannad is an Irish band who is sometimes seem like the only trivia question anyone knows about Clannad is that the lead singer's younger sister happened to be Enya of Orinoco Flow fame. Now, Enya was actually a member of Clannad, but left very early on to forge her own solo career. She left long before they worked on Robin of Sherwood. The album, and this is a case where the album is very much out of the expected style, except in this case it goes into that same kind of dreamy Celtic New Age sound that, if you like Enya, you're probably going to be just fine with this. And so it's kind of odd. Lady Hawk gets crapped on by critics and fans alike, or at least the soundtrack from it does. The music from Robin of Sherwood is almost universally loved. Go figure. Here's Clannad's music from the album Legend, which is essentially the soundtrack to the 1980s British TV series Robin of Sherwood. Music from Robin of Sherwood by Celtic New Wave group Clannad from the 1980s. Whatever you may think of the music, love it or hate it, the album won awards like crazy, including a BAFTA, which is the British Academy of Film and Television Arts. It's a big deal. It's like winning an Oscar in the UK. And it's kind of funny. It doesn't matter if you're talking about the BBC's, you know, darker, grittier, more realistic recent TV reinvention of Robin Hood, or if you're talking about Kevin Costner or what. You ask people what their favorite multimedia interpretation of Robin Hood is, it's either going to be the Disney animated cartoon where they're all animals, or it's going to be Robin of Sherwood. It has left a huge, huge, indelible impression on the telling of the Robin Hood legend. You can't get away from it, and you certainly can't get away from that music. And you can't get away from the music that's coming at you right between the eyes either, because we are going to get a bit more modern and a bit more beefcake. Joel Goldsmith is the son of famed composer Jerry Goldsmith. And Joel is probably best known for his TV work on shows such as Stargate SG-1, Stargate Atlantis, Stargate Universe, Witchblade, Sanctuary. He also has scored such games as Call of Duty 3, and he gave his dad a lot of help on Star Trek First Contact in 1996 on the big screen. Now, this other Joel Goldsmith soundtrack also originates from the big screen, but the pitch session for this movie, I imagine, went something like this. Hey guys, you know what's hot right now? That Hercules show with that long-haired guy? No, not that one. That's Xena. I'm talking Hercules. We should get this guy to be in a movie that's just like Hercules, but, you know, not really as coherent or fun.
Good. Let's do it. We'll do lunch.
We are talking about Cole the Conqueror. Yeah. It's a decent mashup of orchestral score and hard rock, which those are two genres Joel Goldsmith could do with one arm tied behind his back happily in the same day. He was very good at both. At some point, I've got to play some Witchblade music for you. I've got to find a theme that allows me to play some of that music because it's awesome and it's very... The Witchblade soundtrack was very prog rock, but then the comic was also stylistically off-kilter, and it supported that sort of musical treatment from its TV adaptation. Cole the Conqueror, you can basically tell that someone turned on their local independent station around 1995 or so and said, hey, you know what, that Hercules guy... We can finally do this decade's version of Conan the Barbarian. Get on the phone to his agent, make it happen. Well, I would argue very strongly that Hercules the Legendary Journeys was a far better use of Kevin Sorbo's talents than Cole the Conqueror, which just, it went nowhere. It went nowhere. It was heavily promoted. It was a big deal. But it was not that decade's Conan the Barbarian. It was more like that decade's Yor the Hunter from the future. Enough said. Here's Joel Goldsmith's music from Cole the Conqueror. Music from Kull the Conqueror, not Krull. That is a much better movie, frankly. Kull the Conqueror, music by Joel Goldsmith. Joel, unfortunately, left us far too early. He died at the age of 54 in 2012, after a very quiet, private battle with cancer. He died just a few years after his father did, which... I'm really bummed out about Joel Goldsmith. And I'm bummed out about both of them, to be honest. But Joel Goldsmith would get on the internet. He would interact with his fans. He ran his own label called Free Clyde Music. And he issued his own pressings of his own CDs. And unlike some of the labels in the 90s and 2000s that took advantage of loopholes in either licensing or in the quantity of CDs pressed, Joel Goldsmith actually licensed the stuff that he released. And so it was official, and he could press, you know, more than 150 copies of it worldwide. And so his own label released his own music from such projects as the direct-to-DVD Stargate SG-1 movies and Witchblade. And he had just an incredible stylistic range that rivaled his dad's. And I really looked forward to Joel Goldsmith getting more and bigger and better projects as time went on. Time, unfortunately, had other ideas. But does anyone have any definite ideas about this question, the following question? Is there a right or wrong way to score a swashbuckling period fantasy? If this podcast has proven anything, the answer is nope. Because Andrew Powell is right about one thing. If you go for the traditional Eric Korngold approach to a period fantasy score, that's only slightly less out of place than rock music. So the message here, obviously, is rock on in ancient times. Thank you for listening. That's all for now. In the grand theme of things, we'll be back next week with more movie, TV, and game music connected by a common theme. Just a reminder, all of the music you've heard is copyrighted by the respective composers, labels, and studios. Visit www.thelogbook.com/music/podcast for a listing of what you heard in this installment and links to purchase your own copies. Due to restrictions on file size and storage, what you've heard today was presented at a fairly low audio quality. By purchasing the commercially available CDs or downloads, you can hear it even better. I strongly encourage you to support the labels that are taking the time and expense to remaster and reissue classic soundtrack music. They're making music available to which longtime movie and TV music fans have never dreamed of having access, and I hope you'll join me in supporting them. In the Grand Theme of Things is written, produced, and hosted by Earl Green.